Good morning. I am excited about today. Today is an exciting and memorable day in the history of Church of the Open Door. You're like, whoa, what happened? What's going on? Today, we are celebrating the one-year anniversary of the 2020 vision that we cast last year. And man, have things been happening in the last year. And those of you who are like, what's the 2020 vision? I'm glad you're here today because I'm going to remind you of that because we're in this re-series, right? We're talking, on Easter Sunday, we talked about the resurrection, the resurrection, and that resurrection brought a restart and a new life, a new opportunity for each one of us to walk with God, and it has created a bunch of other re's, and so we're in this re-series, and I thought since we're on the anniversary this week of the launching of the 2020 vision, it would be good for us to revisit that vision that just changed so many people's lives 1 year ago. So if you were here a year ago, you remember the episode that we went through, the season we went through of listening to God and trusting God and how God blew us away. Remember this? And then the miracles that we began to hear about starting last year. So I want to remind us of some of those, and I want to catch you up on the things that have happened since then, as well as remembering all that God did. So let's start with recalling. I got the thing happening. I can't restrain myself. And so let's return. I'm on a roll. Let's return to the words of Jesus and recall them that launched the whole 2020 vision. Because we didn't make this up. This is something that we received. Yes, we received. I just made that one up. From God. So if we're going to recall the words of the vision that Jesus gave us, it starts with the words that he said in John 4:35. So turn with me there, or return with me there. You know, we've been in John 11, that's where we ended up last. So this is a year ago. Some of you were wondering, wow, have we been in John 10 and 11 forever? No. A year ago, we were actually in John 4. So it gives us great hope. Maybe one of these days we'll finish the Gospel of John. And so in John chapter 4, as you find that passage, you recognize that it's a story of Jesus meeting a woman from Samaria. Now, those of you who don't know this story may think that's not a big deal, but just real quickly, in those days, the Jews hated the Samaritans, and the Samaritans hated the Jews. So they avoided each other at all costs. And Jesus says that his disciples who are following him, let's not forget this, they're following him to learn from him, to become like him. And Jesus is going to identify something here today in his followers where you're following me, but you don't see like I see. You don't have the vision that I have, and I want to give you this vision. So in John chapter 4, the disciples are following Jesus through the enemy territory, and they get hungry. And so they want to go to the McDonald's just down the street, and they're like, Jesus, you want something? No. He says, I've got food that you don't know nothing about. And they scratch their heads, and they find their way to McDonald's. On their way, it's in the Bible. You can read about it. On their way, they see this woman. Or actually, I mean, put it this way. They pass this woman, but I'm not sure they ever see her. And they're on their way to McDonald's. They pass her. When they come back, that very woman is talking to Jesus. And they're like, what are you doing? You shouldn't be talking to this woman. She's a woman, and she's a Samaritan. And then Jesus says these memorable words in verse 35. He says, guys, you have a saying, right, about, you know, 4 months into the harvest. I'll actually put these words on the screen for you. He says, I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Now, when Jesus says that, he's not referring to the agricultural products that are in the fields. He is seizing this moment where they passed this woman who's lost, who's, we're going to find out, who's broken, whose life is a mess. And Jesus says, you didn't even see her. You didn't even notice her. And if you're gonna follow me, and Jesus says this to you and me as well, if you're gonna follow me, I want you to see people the way I do. In fact, there are thousands of people. It's like a field, he says. There's like looking out over a field of people, not just one here, one there. It's not just this woman from Samaria. There's thousands of people, like a field in front of you that you're not seeing. And so he seizes this moment to cast a vision, here's the words, to open their eyes. Let me highlight these. To open your eyes and look, two words of vision, at these fields. Again, the fields are people. He's using a metaphor here. And the disciples, it's not like their eyes were closed. He's not saying you have your eyes closed. He says you have your eyes on other things. So whether it's nearsightedness, you know, or farsightedness, or tunnel vision, or just kind of being, blinded by other things, they're not seeing. And Jesus says, you can't be my disciple and really follow me until you begin to see like I see. I want to envision you, or I want to re-envision you so that you begin to see what? See people. So this phrase, open your eyes, is to begin to see the people that are all around us. And a year ago, I challenged us. Who is in your line of sight that you see every day at work, in the neighborhood, maybe in your family? Who is in your line of sight, your line of vision, that you're not seeing? Who around you is lost, who does not know God and his love? And God's placed you in their life, first of all, for you to see them, and then for you begin to be a part of reaching them. And so everything starts with vision. So Jesus says, open your eyes. I want you to see the lost people that are all around you. And for the disciples, they're like, no, Jesus, what? She's a Samaritan. Surely you've not come to reach Samaritans. Just honestly, nobody has to put their hand up. But is there anybody in your life that you just don't like? I know we're in church. You can't say this, right? Is there anybody, somebody at work that just bugs you? Somebody in your family, the idiosyncrasies, really? You have to be in my family? You married into that? Or, there's people that just bug us. We can say this. Jesus says, I see those people that bug you, and I love them. I'm not trying to be, soupy here. Soupy, that's the wrong word. Sappy, that's the word. Just got my vowels wrong. I'm not trying to be sappy here, but Jesus died for the people that bug you. Jesus loves and died for the people that get under your skin, the people you may consider enemies. And the disciples are not getting this. They're still scratching their head going, gee, what, Jesus, what? And he's saying, open your eyes. I've come to reach the lost. In fact, in Luke 19:10, he says, this is like a mission statement for me. I've come to seek and to save. And you see how I've highlighted the word lost? You filled it out here. I want to use the word because Jesus uses the word. And let's just be reminded of what Jesus means when he says, you're lost. It means you are out of relationship with the Father. It means you're separated from the family of God. It means that if you die in that condition, you will spend eternity lost, separated. Let's just remember. Let's remind ourselves the stakes here. This is not, hey, I want you to be on my marketing program. This is not, hey, I want you to be a part of something cool I found on the internet. This isn't just, hey, I found this good deal at Sam's and I want you to know. This is about life and death, folks. People who don't know Christ are lost and they're going to spend an eternity apart from God. Let's just remember that. Sometimes in 2017, we hear preachers and we hear people talk about, oh, there's not really a hell. There's not really a separation. Jesus said there was. I don't know. We want to believe Jesus or believe one of these new preachers. He says people are lost. Every once in a while, I think we just need to be smacked between the eyes with the truth that neighbor, that person that bugs you, and the people that you love. It's not just people that bug you, but the people around us. If they don't know Christ, they're lost. I know. She's listening. I know they're lost. Does Does that ever bug you? And I don't want to make you feel bad, but when's the last time you cried about a family member, that you wept before God over the lostness of somebody you work with, somebody you live with, somebody in your family, somebody that is in your neighborhood? God, give us the eyes to see like Jesus, and give us a heart that hurts for people, amen? That cares about people who are lost and separated from God. It's interesting that Jesus doesn't just say, open your eyes. Let me go back to this verse. He doesn't just say, open your eyes and look, see the people, see the fields. Then he adds this phrase, the fields, the people are ripe for harvest. Now, I don't know if you're a farmer or if you have a family that farms. If you get the metaphor, I grew up on a farm. My family was into farming. First church I planted in Kansas was in a farming community. So I get the farming metaphor. And so I understand that when a field is ripe unto harvest, it means that that corn, that barley, that wheat is ready to harvest. And if you don't harvest it when it's ready, you lose it. And you don't get it back again. You can't come back next spring and say, well, let me try. I've got a tractor now. I've got help now. I've got time now. Once the harvest is over, you've lost it forever. It's an idea of timing. Right now, there's a moment. There's a time. There's a season. You got to seize this. In other words, Jesus is talking about urgency. So I want you to hear Jesus' heart. People are lost. I want you to hear what he's asking the disciples to do is to see them. And then to catch the urgency, that's probably why I'm yelling right now. I'm trying to help us catch the urgency in the words, in the metaphors, in the vision cast that Jesus is giving. The field is harvested, ready to harvest now. What are you going to do about it? And the disciples are like, what are you talking about? They still didn't get this, but 2,000 years later, we get this now. There's a window that God gives a church. There's a window that God gives a neighbor. There's a window that God gives somebody who you go to work with. There's a window of openness. There's a window of readiness. And when that window gets opened, we've got to be there to love on them, to explain the gospel to them, to pray with them. It can't be this well when I get around to it. Jesus helps us see, wants us to see the urgency of reaching them now. Am I conveying some of that urgency? You're like, whoa, man, chill out. I can't chill out if I'm going to represent what Jesus is saying. And in fact, it even goes a little bit deeper. And I know very few of us here probably read Greek, but in the Greek, which is what they would have heard Jesus say, he uses three words about vision. This phrase here, behold, look. And then a couple of words later, lift up your eyes. So, you know, look, open your eyes, and see. And one small phrase, bam, bam, bam. Why? Because whenever something is repeated, when it's three times, it's emphasis. You know, what do the angels say about the holiness of God? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. It's a way of accentuating and celebrating the holiness of God. So in this small phrase, Jesus says, he says, see, 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 look, 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 open your eyes, open your eyes, open your eyes. The disciples are like, we get it. Jesus is like, actually, you don't. But I'm going to keep casting vision. I'm going to keep helping you see. I'm going to keep modeling for you the way I want you to see as my follower, as my disciple. See, this is one of the ways you'll know that you're growing in discipleship. We all want to be disciples. We all want to grow in discipleship. Is your passion for lost people growing at all? Or do you really think you can follow Jesus and not care about people? Am I on your face? If we're going to be disciples, then we've got to be like Jesus. And this is what he's doing with his disciples here. Guys, I want you to see. I came to seek and save those that are lost. And I want you to catch this urgency. So friends, this is the biblical foundation. This is where the 2020 vision came from. because it's a play on words. When we talk about revisiting the 2020 vision, not only are we saying that we admit that we're sometimes farsighted or nearsighted or have tunnel vision, what we want is 2020 vision, which is, you know, to see accurately and clearly. Not only do we want to be able to see like Jesus, but that 2020 also represents the year 2020. Over the next 4 years, because we launched this in 2016, by the year 2020, there's some things that God put on our hearts, some things he's cast vision for us. So we want to see like Jesus, and we want to get done by the year 2020 this vision that he's given us. So there's the play on words, to see like Jesus sees, to have 2020 vision. And so let me real quickly revisit that vision. It starts off with this whole idea of John 4:35, to see and reach people. So everything I'm going to share and everything the last year, the 2020 vision has been about, it's all about reaching people, to see and reach people for Christ, to see and reach those who are lost. And we said that we sensed that what God was saying for Church the Open Door, this isn't for every church. This is a vision God gave us. It's not for everybody. But the vision that God has been giving us over the years is to use this multi-site approach as one of the most effective ways to reach people. I mean, I'm blown away by how many people we're able to reach, new people, by just launching a campus in their neighborhood. It's incredible. I've been studying this for years. You can go and knock on doors like the JWs do. You can go, you know, love on people. But when you, like, put a campus in their neighborhood, something happens. So this is what's been going on. Our church has been growing through multi-site. So Avon Lake, Vermilion. And so we've been asking God, you know, what's next? And so God gave us a vision starting with the DR campus. So it was four campuses. And by the year 2020 that we sensed that God wanted us to launch. First one was the DR campus, Dominican Republic. So what we had going on there was Pastor Tito was meeting in his little living room. I was there, and it's dinky. And then as they began to grow, they went into these rented quarters, not much bigger, and it's limited their growth. And Pastor Tito would come to me, and he'd say, is there any way you can help us, you know, reach more people in Santo Domingo if we just had a bigger campus, you know, a campus period? And so we're like, yes, let's do this. So as a part of the 2020 vision, we raised the money, you raised the money and sacrificially gave the money to be able to purchase a building that campus would own, that would give them an established place right on the corner of this busy area. And we were able to do that in December of this year. We purchased it. We now own it. And they did some renovations, moved in, and people are coming to Christ. On the first Sunday, they had 35 people. They've almost tripled that. This is just April, just 4 months later, and they've almost tripled. They've got 90 people now meeting in that campus location. Isn't that exciting? So already, I know, already we're seeing the fruit, you know, the harvest of believing that what God was doing for the Dominican Republic campus is something that we wanted to pour into. And so they've got a community center in this awesome building. They're teaching people English. There are programs for students and youth, and they're reaching people, and it's so exciting. So lots of praise about the Dominican Republic campus. That was the first one. The second one was Lorraine campus. And I came to you about a month ago and told you that we have stalled in getting the Lorraine campus. You know, we've been doing all this work. There's been so many exciting things that have happened, but we felt like we identified the building and we're making some progress, and then all of a sudden the talks just stalled, and they still are stalled. I'm here to tell you today, I don't have any new news. And as the lead pastor, I'm like, I'm supposed to, you know, be, you know, taking us someplace, and I'm saying, God, what's happening? It's good for you to know every once in a while that leaders don't always know what they're doing. Sometimes I think you guys put leaders on pedestals. You're like, oh, they have like a crystal ball. You know, so this guy's leaving because he's like, why should I follow this guy? Don't everybody do that, please. But, you know, we don't always know why God does what he does. But here's what I've taught you, and I want to practice. When things stall, we start asking, what, God? What? And that's what we're doing right now. I want to challenge you. I want to lead you. I want to encourage you. Let's just keep praying. Let's keep seeking God. Let's ask him, what? What are you doing? Because this has to be obedience to Jesus Christ from the beginning to the end. It can't be, oh, we've got our vision, now ignore God and just do our own thing. No, sometimes God gives the what of the vision and then waits on the when and the how. Ever notice that? In fact, this not, I shouldn't say sometimes. Oftentimes, God gives the what of the vision, but then delays on the when and the how, and there's that waiting part, and God works in the waiting. God works in the way. We hate the waiting. I want it now. So I'm asking God, okay, what? So there's the News and Lorraine campus. Meanwhile, third campus, the internet campus. We are ahead of schedule in that one. We're really excited about putting together the kind of equipment and tools that will enable us to be able to start an internet campus. That's supposed to happen by schedule in 2018. I have a feeling we're going to be ahead of schedule. So really exciting things there. The fourth campus, we told you a year ago, is yet to be named. We're going to ask God for where that will be and just keep listening. But in the meantime, as I reported to you last year during this vision cast, God has given us a heart and an opportunity to not start a campus, but to start a homeless shelter that we've now called the Generation House. And really exciting things happening with the Generation House. The idea here, as I've shared, was that because of the unique things happening in the economy in this area, there is an increasing amount of people who suddenly find themselves homeless. They had good jobs. Maybe this is some of you. You had a good job. You were paying your mortgage. Your kids were in school. And all of a sudden, you lost your job. Downturn. And you find yourself with a mortgage you can't pay. You found yourself in a situation. Now you've got a family, and you've got no place for them to live. And more people that we're finding like this are in trouble. And they don't have relatives in Georgia. They don't have family in Florida that they can move in with. And so they're just kind of stuck there on the streets of Elyria. And God has put on our hearts, can we start a homeless shelter to help these families in transition? These families that have lost their job. And in many, many cases, of no fault of their own. It's just the economy. And so there's like a niche that God's opened our eyes to. And I was talking to the mayor of Elyria about this, and she is so excited. In fact, just a couple weeks ago, I was in her office with Don Dinovic, our former director of missions, and the new director of our Generation House, and Brian Boucher, our new director of missions. We were in the office with the mayor, and she's like just gushing about this Generation House. Here's a picture of it. We've bought the house. And this is 158 Gateway in Elyria. Isn't that a cool looking house? It's got class. It's got character. And this used to be a boarding house, of all things. It's like a perfect location for us to kind of have the setup that we're trying to create. And the mayor is all excited about it. And she's like, if you guys could do more of these, it would be so cool. This is a huge need in our area. And we're like, as God leads, we'll obey. We'll do whatever he says. And then I asked her, could I lay my hands on you and pray for you as the mayor? And she's like, sure. So God's doing some neat things with the city of Elyria. And I'm so grateful for the mayor Brenda's leadership in allowing us and getting behind us, supporting the serve our city. She'll be there in the Elyria Square, the Ely Square, and be a part of helping us this Saturday the 20th. She's a part of that. So some neat favor, some neat things that God's doing. Let's celebrate the Generation House. Don Dinovic has got a team of people together doing some renovations. And we're really in great business here, great on track to see, you know, that thing come to happen. So really, really excited about Generation House. And as we see, yeah, you can clap about that. As we see God moving in worship services, in people meeting one-on-one, in life groups, in student ministries, in children's ministries, and throughout the ministries of our church, as we're seeing God move, in just the first 4 months of 2017, we've seen over 60 people baptized. 60 people come into the kingdom of God, give their lives to Christ, and get baptized. That's worth shouting about. Or clapping. That's good, too. As a matter of fact, we're going to increase that number today, because right now, we're going to baptize 4 more people in this service. And then in Avon Lake, after the service, they're going to baptize somebody. So just 1, it's going to go up 5, as long as Jesus doesn't come back in the next 2 minutes. It's going to go up 5 more, so let's celebrate the baptisms, people getting their life changed right now here in Elyria.
This is John. John, you're here today because of family, your mom, your friends that are out there, and in front of your church family for the past 7 years, you're willing to say that God lives in you and through you. So, John, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins?
I do.
Do you believe that he rose again just for you?
Absolutely.
Do you promise to live a life of loving God, loving people, and living surrendered?
Yes, sir.
Well, man, I baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Woo!
Praise God, man. Awesome.
Yeah!
Yes. And it's so exciting to be able to do this together as a family. I have Brandon and his wife, Haley. They're like, let's do this together. Let's celebrate together. Let's make a mark at the beginning of our marriage. You've been married for how long?
3 years.
About 3 years. And today, they're going to another level.
Yes.
So I'm going to start with your husband here. Brandon, do you know that Jesus died on the cross to forgive you of your sins? That he was buried and rose again just for you.
Yes.
Do you promise to live a life of loving God, loving people, and living surrendered?
Yes, I do.
Well, man, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Awesome, bro. Hang out. You got to see this happen. All right. Haley, I ask you the same thing. Do you know that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again just for you? Do you promise to live a life of loving people, loving God, and living surrendered?
Yes.
Well, all right. Let's get this party started. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Give her a hug. Yeah.
Yes.
It doesn't stop there. Because those two right there were impacted by a mom. And that mom's standing right here. This is Holly. She's like, if they're going to do it, I'm going to do it. So, Holly, do you know that Jesus died on the cross to forgive you of your sins, was buried and rose again just for you?
Yes.
All right. Do you promise to live a life of loving God, loving people, and living surrendered?
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So exciting. Thank you.
Isn't that cool? Yeah. I mean, that's what it's all about, seeing lives being changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit working through your loving and your giving and your praying and your building relationships. Let's continue to do that. Let's continue to let God use us to stretch, to reach out, to love on people. And to follow the Holy Spirit as he gives us opportunity to share the gospel with them. So, well, we're about reaching people. We're about reaching new people for Christ. And this is kind of funny. when we were putting this together last year, actually like 2 years ago, and putting together the whole 2020 vision, well, there was 3 main parts of the 2020 vision. Actually, number 1 was reaching people. And then the other 2 were supporting that. And they all start with the word letters R-E. I didn't plan this, but now in the RE series, we're reviewing, I got another RE in there, reviewing each one of these. So the next one was to remove our debt. Remember this? 1991, this church built an addition to the Elyria campus and took out a 30-year loan. So what's 1991 plus 30? Yeah, 2021. That's when we were due to pay off the bill. Pay off the mortgage. And more people are like, we've got to do something about this. We've got to eliminate. This is like an albatross around our neck. It's keeping us from being involved in doing more ministry and actually spending more money directly on reaching people, because we're paying off debt, just like if you're paying off debt in your place. So we decided to, a part of the 2020 vision Is God calling us to completely wipe out this Illyria debt? The answer was yes. Just not make a big dent. Not like get three quarters of it, but to completely wipe it out. And so the plan was to pay that off 4 years early, 2017. Our hope was to be able to do that by the end of 2017. Friends, get ready for the excitement. This Tuesday, we will make our last payment. Yeah? That's good. That's it. Now, the people who are really cheering the most are people who've been paying since 1991. And they're like, really? I thought we would be doing this until Jesus came back. And again, as long as he doesn't come back in the next 2 days, which will be great, we're going to pay that off, completely have that done May 2nd. So next Sunday is the first Sunday that we'll be free of that debt. So we're having a big party next Sunday. Make sure you're here right in the service. We're going to have some fun and celebrate. I mean, the sermon won't be about that. The sermon will be about reigniting prayer life that gets, you know, gets low. But we'll take a moment to celebrate what God's done, what we've all done together. Pretty cool, huh? So make sure you're here next week, removing that debt. So the third R-E was, we said, hey, we're reaching all these new people for Christ in the Generation House, in these new campuses. We're removing our debt to free up money to be able to reach more people. But every week, we have people coming to our regular, all of our campuses. And we've heard people say over and over again, there's this or that, that kind of obstacle or hindrance. So we thought, could we do some renovation to make us a little more friendly? And so that's what we've done. The smallest of the three, because this is the biggest one, so we're spending the most money up here, and the second most here. This is the smallest amount, but we're now tasting some of that because the first thing we renovated was the parking lot in Vermilion, and they're all excited because they've lost hundreds of people in the potholes of the parking lot. They're still looking for some of them. Afraid we didn't pave any over. But you go to Vermilion now, and brand new parking lot. It's awesome. And what I'm hearing is that people drive onto the campus, see the parking lot, and fall down to their knees and give their life to Christ. You're not buying that. Yeah, that's not happening. But you know, it is cool to have that parking lot. We had the Pigtoberfest there, and it's really, really needed. Here in Illyria, we've done some significant renovations. The crossroads and the auditorium and really, really some cool things happening. So we're excited about the renovations that are happening. So there's the three R's. And in a nutshell, here's what we tried to do. Reaching people by funding four campuses, eliminating debt 4 years, but we did it in 4.5. Woohoo! Renovating four campuses all in the next 4 years, 2016 to 2020. And we are well on our way to seeing that happen. That's worth, I know you've been clapping, but that's worth just celebrating about. So I want to wrap this thing up and revision the commitment. Why are we doing this? It's to reach people. Sometimes you do something for a year and you kind of forget how important it was. Sometimes you can get into writing a check and like, oh yeah, here's that. Oh yeah, I have to give that much money. Let me just remind you how important what you're doing is and re-envision you for what caught Jesus' heart. And that is the 60 plus people that have already come to Christ. The more people that we're still reaching. What you're doing is making a difference. Don't give up. Don't flag on your commitment. And let's remember, one more R-E. Let's remember what was happening when you made that commitment last year. Those of you who are part of this. Remember the miracles? Remember some of the stories that we told, that you told us about people saying, I can't do anything, but I want to do something. I don't have anything, but I want to do something. So some people said, I don't have any money. I'll do a garage sale. And other people started throwing their stuff into the garage sale. And next thing you know, there's tons of money they raised. They gave that all to this 2020 vision. Or people who said, you know, I feel like God's calling me to do this, but again, I don't have any resources. And all of a sudden, something happens and resources start flowing. Well, since in the last 12 months, since those stories were told, a bunch of other stories have come to light. One of these I just found out this past week, so I want to tell you about it. And we were just, you know, recalling and remembering what happened last year. And this person told me about this story about this couple in our church who are very committed. serving every Sunday, ultra committed, and were going through some health issues about a year ago, significant health issues. And they did the pray that we asked everybody to do. Pray. Seek God. Don't just put in an amount. Don't just say, yeah, I'll do something. Make this an opportunity to hear from God. And they did. And they said the number that God gave us completely blew us away. And we're like, we looked at each other and we're like, we can't do this. But then we looked at each other and said, this is what God's calling us to do. So they did. They took the second step. They made a commitment. They filled out that commitment card. And this was their act of obedience. And this is what we've asked everybody to do a year ago. Take the time to listen to God. When you hear from him, obey him. Start giving. Make that commitment and start trusting God. Well, that's what they did. And a month went by, 2 months went by. I forget how many months went by, but completely unexpectedly, the husband got called in to meet with his boss, and the boss blew him away with an outrageous, ridiculous, unfortunately, ridiculous doesn't start with R-E, but a ridiculous raise that more than covered the outrageous amount of money they felt like God was calling them to commit and they were giving. And they're just like, what? And, you know, I love that story because that's just how God is. He doesn't, you know, give us that money right away. He says, trust me. And maybe some of you right now are in the trusting time. You're like, I still don't know where that money's coming from. After the first service, I was talking to a guy after the service who said to me, you know, this was our situation. We felt that God was calling us to be a part of this and to give. And so we worked out our budget, and we're looking at our budget. We went to the Financial Peace University and worked out our budget, and we thought to ourselves, if we obey God, listen to these words, if we obey God, we're going to be $400 shy every month. This doesn't work. It doesn't work on paper. And they went and prayed, and they felt like God was saying, that's what I'm calling you to do. And they're like, well, that's crazy. We haven't heard from God. They went and prayed again, and they just felt so clear that this is what God was calling him to step out. And so he says to me, you know, 11 months later, I don't get this because I did the budget. But every year, every month, not only do we make up the 400, but we're ahead. I don't understand how this happens. And we just, around here, we call that God's math. He does miracles. He makes things happen. And if you've got some stories that you want to share about what God's done in your life, we'd love to hear them. One of my favorite ones is about the couple that, you know, we took 7 weeks to kind of cast the vision. And this one couple, as soon as they heard the vision, they're like, we're in. And they started giving. And we went to them and said, no, you can't give yet. Can you believe a church would do this? You can't give yet. It doesn't start until this date. And they're like, no, we want to obey God right now. And so we were like, okay, we'll let you obey God. And so they started giving 7 weeks ahead of time because they were so excited. And the things that God's done in this couple's life and through them in this last 12 months is outrageous. It's so exciting. Because see, this is not about money. It's not about raising a dollar amount, even though you guys knocked it out of the park. This is what I told you a year ago. This is about learning to hear from God. Hearing God say something that feels way uncomfortable, obeying him and trusting him. Not what you can afford, but trusting he will provide because he is faithful. And some of you who took that journey are experiencing that kind of spiritual growth in your life. Now, there's others of you that have come in the last 11 months and you're like, hey, I want to be a part of this. So today we're going to give you a chance. No pressure. You don't have to do this, but I know some of you want to. So in all of our venues, there's a card that does the same thing. Pray, commit, give. And it says a 2-year commitment. So it's right in the seat back in front of you. It's not a 3-year commitment because you're a year behind. And so whether in your Vermilion, Avon Lake, here in Elyria, I invite you to grab that card. If you know you weren't a part of last year, and say, I want to be a part of this year. I want to be a part of this amazing thing that God's doing and reaching people through Church the Open Door. You know, fill it out, pray, commit, give, fill it out. You know, however you feel led. This is between you and God. We don't tell people how much to give in this church. What we do ask you to do is to turn this into a spiritual moment. Turn this into an opportunity to help you grow as you learn to hear. One of the things I forgot to say is some people have said to me, I never knew how to hear from God until this adventure, this journey. And now I know how to hear from God. That's a huge win. You never knew how to hear from God, and now you do? You see what I'm saying? That's huge. And so that's what we want for everyone. That's why we remember. That's why we look back over this last 12 months. Because remembering what God has said and remembering what God has done helps us to trust. This is all about this five-letter word. To trust God for what he's doing in you right now. Because God's not the God of just the past. And he's not just the God of the distant, vague future. He's the God who's working in your life now. Do you believe that? That God's working in your life now? Right now, these are the moments that God is doing some of his greatest work in some of your lives. And I guarantee you, I don't do this very often. Let me close with this. I guarantee you, when you get to the end of your life, you will say things like this. It was worth it all. It was worth it to learn how to hear from God. It was worth it to stretch, to believe, to obey. It was worth it. You will never regret obeying God. You will never regret learning to hear from God. You will never regret trusting God. At the end of it all, when we get to the end, whenever that is, over and over and over again, followers of Jesus Christ will say, will weep, will shout, it was worth it. It was worth it all. And as we're praising God and celebrating, then we'll find somebody else who came to Christ because of our sacrifice. And we'll be there arm in arm. We'll be there in heaven celebrating. It was worth it all. It'll be worth it for this person that came to Christ. It'll be worth it for the glory of God. It'll be worth it for our growth. And we'll be singing, Jesus, it was worth it all. Amen? Because you are worth it all. Let's stand to our feet in all of our venues. Let's just practice this right now. Lord Jesus, whatever we give, whatever we do for you is worth it all. So call us out. Call us up. Call us into a relationship with you that's a deeper trust, that's of deeper intimacy, that's of more fruit. Lord, do in us what seems impossible as we listen to you, as we obey you, and as we trust you. God, continue to grow us. Continue to give us vision. Continue to give us the ability to see the way Jesus sees. Deepen our love for people. And please continue to use Church of the Open Door to reach this generation and these neighborhoods that you've called us and placed us for the glory of God. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.